Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead horse 1d6 damage at a time. This week will be just like any other week. We've got some leaked PDFs of that racist-ass Star Frontiers reboot, and also something just called Wizards of the Coast Project 6? I don't know. Anyway, we're going to talk about them both at length. All that and the musical stylings of Neutral Milk Hotel on today's System Mastery. And welcome back. It's System Mastery. I'm Jeff, joined as always by my co-host, John.
Always.
Always. Always and forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you've got me. Always, forever.
Near and far, always together. How many Betty Who references have we done on the show before, do you think? Might be the first. Could it be?
Could this be?
We're going to have to take that one to the tapes.
Let's cut to a clip.
I was so disappointed. I was just telling you this the other day, but I was so disappointed because I like to, in my head, whenever I hear a song, just like try to sing other songs to it to see if I can get them to match.
Just yeah, like it's just the mashup game.
It's my mashup game. We're both just natural mashup guys. So I was listening to some Chumbawamba song that's on the same album as Tub Thumping. So
yeah, same album, but yeah. No one cares because no one ever remembers anything but the Tub Thumping.
Yeah, you know, I also like Whatever Happened to Mary, but other than that, there's pretty much just the one Chumbawamba song. But it was a different one. It was called Drip, 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 and I didn't hate it. It was a pretty good song. But also, you could sing Always Forever, the Betty Who song, to it perfectly.
Yeah, no change.
The chorus points were the exact length of the entirety of Always Forever, so you could just sing the whole song inside the other song. And I was very excited to make this discovery, and then immediately disappointed to realize that no one likes either of those songs. So it's not a very useful mashup. I wonder if perhaps it, like, mashups work with an algebraic property where if you take two negatives and you multiply them by each other, you actually get a positive mashup.
I mean, I feel like you would get, if you put that out, you would get like some cred on it just from people going like, damn.
Yeah, probably be more people like, whoa, stunt mashup, rather than play this shit at booty.
Well, yeah, this isn't going to be a mashup that's like, fuck yeah, this is time to get in the club, but they're like, oh, I'll play this at home. And let me tell you, I've got tons of those that are just mashups that I'm like, I would never want to go dance to this, but it's a fucking great mashup.
Yeah, there's that one that combines all six of the samey sounding bands from the 2000s. They're like Coldplay and Snow Patrol and shit like that. And it's and Jason Mraz. And it just takes all of them and just puts them all together and be like, hey, did you know these are all the same fucking guys?
Did you know all this shit is the same?
I actually really like that mashup, but but again, it's not one that, you know, you're going to play at a party to get the people on the floor.
Yeah, it's not getting booty shaken, but no. It is going to make people go like, huh, neat.
It is the kind of thing you'd play at a wedding if you want people to be like, huh, neat. They could have just played these six songs in a row. It would have been fine. It would have made perfect sense at this boring-ass wedding.
If I wasn't paying attention, my brain might have assumed they just did.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing so good.
Mm-hmm.
On this, the day of my daughter's birthday.
Oh, well, I mean, that's good to hear. Was she born today?
Indeed. And she's a bouncing baby girl of 10 years old named System Mastery.
Well, that's true. I guess if you want to say that the LLC is our girl. Then
it's our sweet baby.
Yeah. It's our anniversary.
It is, and I tell you what, normally, we don't really do anything for anniversaries. Normally,
we do personal stuff.
No, normally, we do stuff for round number episodes, 25, 50, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But for anniversaries, we're just kind of like, hey, did you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But we also, you and I...
Oh, we'll usually get a drink.
We go to a place that called the Dumpling Inn and Shanghai Saloon, which is this great, like Hong Kong cowboy-themed restaurant.
Oh, it's fucking amazing. But you're like, yo, give me a plate of pot stickers and your greatest goblet of whatever nonsense you have.
That's the thing, is they have these unbelievably great, authentic Chinese dumplings of all kinds, and then also the biggest, goofiest drinks in the world.
Oh, yeah. Just so like, hey, give me a heaven. Soup dumpling mm-hmm. and entire bowl of punch with alcohol. Thank you.
Also, they are extremely good at being closed on every one of our actual show anniversaries.
Every time. I mean, today is a Monday. They're closed on Mondays.
We know not to go this time. We've learned that lesson.
We have learned because we have done it, I want to say, at least five times. Mm-hmm. We have driven to this place and gone, fucking Mondays.
Oh, yeah.
We're like Garfield. Every time we want to celebrate an anniversary, we're just like, I fucking hate Mondays.
Every time. Our anniversaries are always on Mondays, and we always go to Dumpling Inn, and we're like, God damn it. And then we end up at, like, Filippi's, one of the local pizza joints.
Yeah, we're just like, well, I guess we'll gorge ourselves on some other nonsense.
What's your biggest, fruitiest drink? And they're like, a Michelob.
They're like, well, we have a grapefruit IPA. Thank you and no.
Would you like to look at our list of stuff on the menu that's labeled ciders? It's three hard kombuchas and a seltzer.
Fucking, that pissed me off so much. Going to OG's and they're like, oh, here's our beer list and here's all the beers and wines and, you know, splitting the beers by different types. And they have a cider section and it is just kombucha, seltzers, and a sour. And
yeah,
I'm like, you don't even
beer.
Have a cider. Fuck you.
Don't let beer spill into the fucking cider list. That's fucking embarrassing.
You motherfuckers. And I even like a decent cider, and this was a shitty beery cider. Or sour.
Sour, yeah. And it tasted, because you ordered the sour.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, I like a sour.
I only like cider, so I'll just get a fucking cocktail. And it was fine, but that sour, you were right. It tasted like, I ate an orange right before I took a sip of it, and I was like, oh, it tastes like the orange I'm eating. And you were like, no, you're going to have to try it again in a minute, because it tastes like nothing.
Yeah, it just tastes unfortunate.
So, anyway, that's a message to all of our listeners who are restaurateurs. If you have a cider section, put one cider in it.
Just fucking put an Angry Orchard. I don't care.
Angry Orchard or Strongbow, just one of the basics. Just put that in there and have it on. You know, and if I'm wrong and if no one ever orders it, you can just tell me. Just send us a comment. They're like, hey.
Just be like, yeah, no one's ever ordered a cider ever.
The only cider orders we've ever had have been for Stella's, and then we tell them it's Stella Cider, and they're like, oh, never mind. Ah. That's fine. If that's true, then I apologize, but I got to...
You know
I'm
what?
So mad
have
to see
a cider.
So many fucking kombuchas.
If you can't have a cider, then maybe put a Mike's Hard on there for a guy. Help a brother out.
I actually don't even care if there's Mike's Hard anymore. I checked
Get
recently.
Get me a fucking Zima, is
yes,
what I'm saying.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. I checked recently, and Mike's Hard has discontinued the limeade.
Oh.
You cannot get it, and you haven't been able to for years.
No Mike's Hard Lime?
Yeah, that was the only good one. Well, I guess cherry lemon was fine. Anyway. Anyway, yeah, 10 years, and here we are talking drink orders.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's 10 years, and you know what? I'm feeling self-indulgent, and you can go fuck yourself if you don't like it.
Hey, come on. I don't need that kind of... Today's listeners, a day for you and me to celebrate.
Listeners!
Oh, you meant the listeners. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, you, you're okay, but her, real fucking ugly.
No, listeners, we love you. Don't. John told me before this episode that he was hoping to piss people off.
I want to make as many people as angry as possible with an episode where we don't review anything and we just jerk ourselves off
we
the whole time.
We did that once. That was one of the April Fool's episodes.
And here's the thing. I tweeted out about the anniversary uh-huh. earlier today, and a whole bunch of you people...
What do you mean, you people?
I mean listeners.
Okay, thank you.
Responded with... You know, bits that you loved and games that we reviewed and episodes that you loved. And of course, at least a couple people were like, that fucking 7C April Fool's episode where you never talk about 7C is amazing.
We did get some, I would say out of the April Fool's episodes we've done, that one generated the most anger.
Oh yeah, because we always get tons of response from the April Fool's, mostly positive,
mm-hmm.
but that one was like, hey, what the fuck? And we're like, dude, that's the joke. Chill out.
No one yelled at Red Letter Media when they did it for the holiday special. I mean, I actually have to assume that that is 100% not true and that the comment feed for that episode is fucking heinous.
Oh, I have to assume the comment feed for literally anyone that is remotely famous is terrible.
Yeah. So I guess I'm wrong about that. I'm going to go ahead and guess.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess you're always wrong.
But yeah, I know we didn't do an April Fool's this year, and I got to tell you, granted,
here it is, April Fool's!
No, I actually just straight up forgot to plan one this year. We were real busy right around then, and the year...
Thing is,
the world sucked.
I kept thinking. I was like, what are we going to do for April Fool's?
Oh, I have ideas. That's my problem.
Oh, well, you should have told me.
No, like I said,
because I would have been on it.
Yeah, I know. We'll do it next year. It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
But,
and that is, I mean, again, talking about the 10-year, one of the earliest traditions that we ever did was doing shit for April Fool's.
Yeah, I was excited about it. And the wind has been slowly, I hate to say it, because I'm still very excited and happy to make the show. It's one of my favorite things to do. I'm really glad this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing takes the wind out of my sails like prepping an April Fool's episode and putting a shitload of work into it, and then logging on April 1st to post it and seeing all these people like, April Fool's is a damaging, shitty holiday for assholes. And I'm like, okay, I guess maybe because a lot of people use it to just tell cheap, shitty lies.
Yes.
But
I mean, most of the time they're like, oh, this is terrible, and I hate this holiday, because mostly it's people coming out and just saying shit that isn't true and, you know, being kind of not sensitive to other people around them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but it's such a great holiday when you're using it correctly.
Yeah, constructively.
To do fun bits.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but I get that. It's just that every year now I'm like, oh boy, April Fool's, I can't wait to post this elaborate thing we made. Remember that fucking Seventh Seas episode was like 46 tracks we had to merge together.
Oh, yeah.
Because of all the drops into different storylines.
Yeah, when we got midway through the episode and we were like, we're just going to drop into different shows constantly, each one leading into the next one, and then get to the bottom, and then each one leading back up to the previous.
And they all needed opening and closing bumper stings, so every one of them had like three tracks each.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I logged on to post it, the first thing I saw was someone just went like, April Fool's is a hateful holiday.
Anyone who celebrates April Fool's is automatically a bad person.
I was just like, oh, come on.
Oh, my wind.
It's my favorite thing.
My sails.
The wind and my sails. How am I going to get across these no seventh seas?
God, it took basically a year for us to get around to that. Because it took us like a year, and then the next April we did it. So mm-hmm. We only had, from the start, the first April that we were doing that we didn't do the April Fools.
Yeah, that's true. Because we did Duckman first, right?
Yeah, we did Duckman first, and God, I love... Can we talk about Duckman then? Let's talk about Duckman a little
first
bit.
First of all, let's explain to everybody, just so no one's still sitting there with their hopes up. This is going to just sort of be like a self-evaluation. This is like an afterthought with no QA.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening
right
now.
The QA is basically, we are answering questions you might have about shit we've done, and I don't care. This is me with just, you know, pants off, Porky Pig in it, lounging around, not caring, okay?
Okay, as long as you're taking full credit for that, because you know how neurotic I am. If
oh,
I see
know.
Even one comment that's like, you fucking wasted my time, I'm canceling my pledge. If you don't review a game exactly once every 2 weeks, I will send a bomb to your house.
Look.
Then, like, that's the thing that worries me.
Everyone listening right now, if you're angry that we're going to spend an episode just deep, deep up our own ass, then please do not send a generic letter or tweet or anything to System Mastery where Jeff might see it.
Mm-hmm.
I am at Gurgle Spasm, and you can come for me.
I'll still see that. I'll find a way. I'll spend every morning the next month waking up like it's Christmas morning because I might find out that someone hates me.
I will block you from my account.
Nothing gets me out of bed faster than the immediate fear that someone might be mad at me.
Yeah, just a kid on Christmas running downstairs to be like, does Santa hate me?
Who hates me the most this year?
Just shaking a package. It sounds like disappointment.
It sounds like the internet? Everyone on the internet? Oh, even the box thinks I'm the worst.
Oh, what do you know? The wrapping paper just says, fuck you, you suck.
So anyway, that's the premise. But sure, we can start with Duckman. Let's talk about the Duckman
process.
I mean,
speaking about fuck you, you suck, that is the Duckman RPG.
And Duckman was very much collaborative. Like, that was back when I don't think we'd monetized the show yet. So,
oh, yeah.
So my fear of pissing people off was present, obviously, but a lot less.
Yes.
So, I remember we were at like a card night dinner party thing, and we were just breathlessly planning it in front of a bunch of other people. And again, we didn't plan much. We were just like, oh, it's going to be Duckman. It's got to be Duckman because people will believe Duckman.
Well, yeah,
we didn't discuss rule one until we were on the air.
Yeah, when we started with it, we were like, all right, so we know the idea that mm-hmm. we want to do is fake RPG.
Yeah.
And then we were like, what's the best way to do a fake RPG? And we're like, it has to be a licensed thing that hasn't been an RPG, but that has enough... like, that has enough cultural cachet that you could believe it, but is obscure enough that you would also believe you hadn't heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to really thread that needle, and Duckman fit so perfect.
It did. You can't do a non-licensed RPG because people will believe it, and it's not really very fair to them.
No, because if I'm just like, hey, we reviewed Thunderworld, and it was an RPG, and it sucked, everyone's going to be like, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, we found a game called Fantasy Strike Adventures, and... it uses dice, and yeah, of course.
Yeah, obviously.
I've been doing this for a decade now, and I still wouldn't be surprised if you told me there's a D&D like I just haven't heard of.
Oh, for sure. There are, like, still now games that we find, I go, how the fuck, what?
That was the Kevin and Kel thing, where I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? The fuck are you saying to me right now? It happened to me like 2 months ago with Red Dwarf having an RPG.
It's one of those things where every time I see an RPG that I have never heard of, I'm like, how has this managed to slip? And it's not even like, oh, because it's new. Like, no, this is from like 95 and you've never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a license behind it. I'm like, how am I just now hearing about this?
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like Duckman was the perfect one to get people, because you're like, oh, obviously it's just obscure enough, but a thing you know of, and not enough that you're going to be like, oh, I want that RPG, so I'm going to go look to buy it. You're going to go, oh, this sounds like a trash game. It's hilarious they did that. And it's, oh, it's just the, just that perfect little bit to get you got.
I mean, can I tell you the other thing, the legacy of the Duckman game is that for 8 years now, I have been trying to figure out who the fuck owns the rights.
It is.
Just so I can see who to license it from.
It is inscrutable.
It's impossible. I was on the phone with Ahmet Zappa once. Not kidding.
Once.
Ahmet Zappa, the son of Frank Zappa, one of the several famous kids of his, because he might own the rights, and I got a connection. I have a long old friend who's like who has been a million jobs in Hollywood. She currently runs a production company that makes commercials. But she at the time, she was a PA for, oh, what's his name? Gore Verbinski.
The old Verb.
Yeah, I might want to blur that later just because I don't know if I want to out my... because it's probably trackable at that point. But I was like, hey, please help me find who owns this. And she had a friend who had a friend who like was in charge of knowing about rights for things. And they put me in contact with Ahmet Zappa, who confirmed that his family might own part of it, but not enough to sign things. And said, that sounds like a great idea, though. Best of luck.
Yeah, Duckman is one of those things where the rights have basically been treated like the villain from a fantasy novel, where they have been cut into pieces and scattered to the eight winds so that they shall never come again and darken the land.
Because we're like, Rudy wrote the fucking game and it's fine. Just let us put pictures of Ajax and Charles and Mambo and shit in there and put it on a shelf.
Let us use the words.
Yeah, and we're at the point now where I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to kickstart it. And whoever sends me the cease and desist letter, that's who I ask about licensing.
Yeah, you're like, look, I'm going to get as public as I can about this thing and see if anyone stops me.
There's a chance that no one would.
It's possible everyone else might be like, well, I've got part of it, but not enough that I think I can cease and desist. They probably got permission from the other person.
It's at this point, some Ship of Theseus shit.
It's just a real big game of chicken where everyone with the rights has to be like, ooh, do I come forward and say I have enough to do it? Because then if someone challenges me and they find out they have more than me, then they'll have control.
Like, there's a point where when it was originally broadcast, it was on Fox. So I'm like, wait, does Disney own it now? Who the fuck has it?
Who knows?
If it's Disney, then I don't want to do the Kickstarter thing.
They'll murder me. It won't be a cease and desist. I'll wake up dead.
They'll use one of their Disney satellites to drop a tungsten rod on my house. Which is exactly what will happen if anyone ever doesn't like me for even a second.
God bless.
So, yeah, the Duckman thing was an experience. It was a really fun one to do, and it was neat. I think the neatest thing about it, because we made up the rules on the fly during the episode, was that people caught out that it was fake because we made a mistake in the rule structure. People were like, oh, that means it's technically possible to make a starting character that has zero health. I think this might be fake, you guys.
Oh, you think?
What was best about that was the people who were calling us out were like, guys, I think you may have been fed bum information.
Yeah, it's not, hey guys, I think you are terrible pranksters and it is April 1st. They're just like, guys, I'm really worried for you. You may have been fed a wrong bill of sale. And we're like, oh, you precious child. I love you and thank you for thinking the best of us. We're goblins, though, so you need to realize that.
I saw that one almost made it out into the world. I saw it showing up in like a couple places. What's fun about when your work like that goes even, it was a tiniest bit viral, like the tiniest possible bit. Like it made it to Reddit and the Penny Arcade forums, which were still relevant in 2014 or whatever it was. But the thing is, when it went viral, it went viral by like two guys made a Duckman thing.
Ha!
Like, do you want to link to it, or you want to say their names, or
yeah?
No, two guys made a Duckman thing. I think it went like this: I made this Duckman thing.
You made this?
I made this. So, one of these days we'll try that again, and it'll actually hit. Just kidding. All the episodes we're going to do from this point forward are going to be about real episodes or real games.
They're going to be about real episodes that we've done. From now on, this is a System Mastery retrospective podcast.
All right, let's start with Heroes Unlimited. Here
all
we
right,
go.
All right, here we go. The next 10 years, baby.
Heroes Unlimited was a real dismal episode because we were still afraid to just be like goofy on the mic. So there you go. That's our full
review.
Oh,
I'm getting goofy on the mic, baby.
2 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Should probably do that one again. So yeah, but I mean Duckman was just a fucking insane amount of fun. That's one of the earliest, happiest memories I have of the show, because I don't have a lot of memory at all.
Yeah, I mean the fact that you have it at all is why it's such a happy memory.
Well, all the other memories I have that are from that far back are of people who disliked me.
Yeah, you just have memories of one person being like, oh, I don't think this was right, and then, you know, I have the memory of you rushing to me going, John, we've ruined ourselves. One person on the internet does not like our content. They're all talking about it.
You know what I honestly kind of miss, like, when it comes to sort of generic negative comments on the internet? There's one that we don't see anymore that I kind of miss, which is people shouting to the rafters, like, going on Twitter and being like, because they thought we were more famous than we were, because they'd go on Twitter and be like, does anyone who knows at System Mastery, like that kind of thing? They're hoping that a lot of people would know who we were so that they could ask a question about how they dislike us, which is like, does anyone know a podcast that's just like System Mastery, but they don't think they're funny, so they don't tell any jokes, and it's just a cold review of a role-playing game from start to finish? Does anyone have that? We used to get like one of those a month.
There was, back in the day, there was apparently enough people who were so hungry for someone to sit down and apparently just paraphrase the rules of a book at them with nothing else.
Yeah.
That they were like, I need that. I hate that there are bits. These guys are talking bits and I do not like it.
Yeah. So I vaguely, we haven't seen one of those in forever. My best guess is that somewhere out there, there's that game, that podcast now. Someone made that.
Someone may have sat down and been like, and now for a story about a book.
Yeah.
In this book, you will need the following dice.
I will now read the old RPGNet purple review of this, where they give it 5 stars, but say it isn't very good.
And then, you know, either there's a very small community that fucking loves that, or all of them went, oh, wait a minute, this is terrible.
I don't know. I just know that we haven't seen that one in a while. I wonder if it's just because we've kind of become established.
I mean, I assume enough people know before coming in now.
Yeah, that might be it, yeah.
They're like, yeah, no one's coming in here thinking like, ah, yes, an intellectual, erudite dissection of this old game.
Ooh, the Kevin and Kel RPG. I can't wait to hear what sense it has.
Now,
what's on the nose?
Now, to get a snifter of brandy and sit down in my favorite chair. Hound to me.
One hand on my wolfhound, please.
Ah, start a crackling fire and let the podcast soothe with the tones.
First,
and
I
then
must...
we come in and we're like, fucking woo! Goobada, goobada, goobada.
Wooster, my smoking jacket. That will be all for tonight.
I will wear nothing else. I'll be Porky Pig in it,
I mean,
Wooster.
I meant that Wooster was getting sent home, but I'll accept that as well. There's nothing I enjoy more than a crackling fire upon my exposed nutsack, Wooster. We all know that.
Everyone is aware of that.
Very good, sir.
Yes, hanging brain. Very good, sir.
Shall I fetch sir's brain pillow?
get me the cravat for my brain.
A little fucking, just a tiny embroidered pillow. I'm picturing, for some reason, pretty much just made out of Chivas Regal bag.
Oh.
It's just that.
I'm imagining the same shit that you bring, like, a ring to someone on. Oh. Like, just a tiny little, like, ring bearer pillow.
Obviously brought to you by a tiny little ring bearer, but we don't want it to be gross, because that'd be like a kid that has to go near your exposed brain. So instead, obviously, it's just a corgi with that tied to its back.
Of course.
And then the corgi overstays its welcome, and the hound just goes, chuff. And the corgi, and the corgi just scoots out.
Ah, yes. Very good. God damn it.
Well, that's my... I'm picturing that as the replacement for the old Maxell cassette commercials.
And then he's just blown away by our dumb horse shit coming through the speakers.
Hey! Oh! This role-playing game says some stupid shit.
Hey, did you know that dice are wacky?
Dude gets fucking brain inflated like a sail, and he blows out of the room.
Woo!
We could have said ball bag that whole time. That's commitment. Just call it brain the whole time.
We established a joke, mm-hmm. and we stayed.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do.
Stay the course.
I don't know. What else do you want to talk about?
I mean, as far as famous bits and other shit we've done, I mean, we have to talk about Cheese Dudes. Obviously.
Oh, God, we haven't talked about Cheese Dudes in forever.
I know,
like,
dude.
I have Cheese Dudes pins coming out of my ears over here.
We got Cheese Dude merch. We got t-shirts. We got pins. We got... That's it.
That's all we got. Those are the two things.
But
I had stickers made at one point, but they're gone.
Eh. I loved Cheese Dudes because it was the first recurring bit that we had.
Yeah. And it got elaborate. There was a point where it had, like, a manager, and we had a voice for the manager of, like, the brand identity manager, like, the CEO of Cheese Dudes.
Because of the, I mean, which is its own topic, the first afterthoughts we did with the sketches.
Mm-hmm.
But there were times where we would do, like, some Cheese Dude commercial shit for sketches, and then that built the lore. And, of course, the lore all about, like, you could definitely find one off Strip Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a bunch of locations where they existed for real. Part of the fun was to tell people to gently insist that they'd been to one recently and just sort of don't confirm that it's not real. Just be like, oh, no, I think I was at one once in Vegas, maybe.
It was off Strip.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 6 blocks from Binion's. That's what we're talking here. Like, not...
Yeah.
You know, you got to go past the Nugget and then just keep walking into the night.
And that's also the way you order the best meal at Cheese Dudes. I'd like to walk past the Nugget.
Very good, sir. And then a tiny corgi runs out. So,
yeah, the corgi's name is Nugget.
Which is a perfect name for a corgi.
Right. And then he leads you to your table. Mm-hmm. You walk past him. You
grab your seat. And then the waiter comes out. It's Wooster. And we've connected the bits.
The bits is an Ouroboros, much like this show, eating its own ass.
I found a job with 80% less exposed testicle.
Not tonight, you haven't.
Very good, sir. Shall I bring you your complimentary ball cup dipping sauces?
Of course. And keep them coming.
I like to freshen.
Good God.
Yeah.
If you're still listening to this, that you're a true fan.
What was the original conversation? Oh, Cheese Dudes.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was just some bullshit. I don't think there was ever an instigating factor. I remember that it predates the show.
Yes. So, Cheese Dudes, before we ever even made an episode, there was a point where we were driving somewhere, and we just decided, like, man, I wish there was a place. It was honestly, it's the same thing, but even earlier than the, like, the nugs for McDonald's where you get, like, beef nugs and pork nugs.
Yes.
It was, I want to go to a place that's like fried cheese, but not just mozzarella, where you could get any type of cheese you wanted fried and brought out to you.
Yes, exactly. And it was like little triangular wedges so that it wasn't just mozzarella sticks. So the whole idea was like a new kind of mozzarella or cheese snack that was fried cheese, but you could pick your cheese.
Yeah, the whole point was they would then pair it with the correct dipping sauce. It'd be like, okay, I wanted to get a camembert triangle deep fried. What is the correct sauce for that?
And they'd be like, ah, very good, sir. That's going to be like a balsamic vinaigrette and pear reduction glaze.
Yeah, and so the whole idea was the cheapest ass thing, which is cheese, like mozzarella sticks, but made into the hoity-toityest thing you could possibly do.
But, you know, still fried and everything, just like the same batter and frying. That was like that was the idea, the initial concept, like, and this was like a year before the show existed.
Oh,
we were just in a car being like, there'd be fucking great if there was a place called Cheese Dudes. And we even got into it. We were like, well, a lot of cheeses
because I think we started calling the actual triangles Cheese Dudes.
Yes, they were
before it became a restaurant. It was like, oh yeah, you could get some Cheese Dudes at a place.
Yeah, it'd be neat if you could go to like Chuck E. Cheese and order a basket of Cheese Dudes. And then it turned into its own whole restaurant. I don't know. I don't even have a... I guess we're explaining the lore now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there were the restaurants that we had that were our own dumb restaurants that were basically Friendlies, but it was our stupid restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
The Har Har's.
Tim Willy's or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that one might be a Simpsons thing, but yeah, Har Har's wasn't.
Yeah, welcome to Har Har's.
Sobo's or something.
Har Har's was like, yeah, the restaurant, and they serve you Cheese Dudes, and then that evolved to be the restaurant is Cheese Dudes, and all they do is this. And then that evolved to, no, Cheese Dudes is a restaurant that, yes, it does that, but it's also like a nightmare version of TGI Fridays.
Yes. And I think you can even go further back with this bit, because part of what we do is just... People, you know this about us already, that we just talk like this all the time, and this isn't like a thing we do for the show.
No.
But I think Har Har's was an offshoot of Google Bells.
I think Har Har's might have come first.
Oh.
Because Har Har's, welcome to Har Har's was a response we had. If we made a shitty joke, one of our friends would go, Har Har, and then that became welcome to Har Har's response, and then that became a thing, and then...
We were at a hotel in Los Angeles for an event or something, and they had a sign that said Google Able, as if like this.
It was Googleable.
Yes.
And we were like, what? Googleable?
Googleable? That sounds like a minor league baseball player.
Is that Patty LaBelle's minor league baseball player son? And so Googleable became the spokesman for Har Har's.
Yeah, and then eventually he migrated to
Cheese
Dudes.
Get a big glass of yump over at Har Har's.
That's right. We made up a bunch of food for it and everything. God damn.
Our lore for our bits keeps going. There's shit, as much as we have said on air about a lot of our dumb bits, know that if we had been writing this down, you would have like a 5e compatible source book for Cheese Dudes at this point.
Well, like I said, there was a point where we had a CEO and a mascot.
Oh, yeah.
And a full menu, I believe. There was a whole bunch of stuff that went onto the menu.
God, we had
the menu
too
jokes,
much shit.
The menu jokes were all based on like the how Olive Garden names tend to be sort of Italian-esque. You know?
Yes.
It was like the Fiesta Taco Explosion Platter and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The seven kind of things.
The seven kind of things. The Party Platterino, which was the small one.
Oh, God damn it. I love that shit.
It's been a long time since we did any of that. Maybe the 10-year mark is the point. Maybe that's our moment to start bringing back, like, Cheese Dudes and Donkey Talk and shit.
Wait a minute. Is this an episode of Donkey Talk? We'll ride that donkey, donkey, down to the honky-tonky. It's gonna get funky, funky. Oh, oh. We'll ride that donkey, donkey, down to the honky-tonky. It's gonna get funky, funky.
Hey, welcome back to Donkey Talk. We got old.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, it's Donkey Talk.
Yep, in the past 6 years since we last did any Donkey Talk content for y'all, we both gained radio DJ accents and turned into hybrid donk-haws.
I've been on the road for Motley Crue the last 6 years. Aww.
People kept telling us to make more donkey content, but something about it made us stubborn.
Yeah, well, I remember when I was doing a set setting up the amps for Motley Crue over at Pleasure Island, I started breaking some plates and smoking cigars like I love to, and then, aww, I got these ears.
Indeed. You know, ever since I was invited out there by the lead singer of Motley Crue, who of course is a fat Italian man who has a carriage,
of course, and his friend, the fox.
It's the fox and the cat. Don't forget the cat.
Look,
now.
The cat's not his friend.
They're not friends.
Don't fuck that up. I believe me.
That'll mess things up for the fox. Wait, which one was the lead singer of Motley Crue?
The Carriageman?
No, which one was the lead? Who, I can only remember Nikki Six. Was it also Vince Neil?
Who possibly knows? Look, I couldn't tell you. I was high for 6 years.
And the part of my brain that remembers band front men is now dedicated to eating grasses.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you got any hay, brother?
You know I don't.
Hey, brother. And that concludes a Doggy Talk. We'll ride that donkey, donkey, down to the honky-tonky. It's gonna get funky, funky. Ow, ow. We'll ride that donkey, donkey, down to the honky-tonky. It's gonna get funky, funky. Ow, ow. Ladies like to ride. I'm pretty sure the singer was Vince Neil.
Yeah.
I only remembered his name because of a Venture Brothers joke where like a gorilla man ate him or something.
I mean, the fact that we didn't mention Tommy Lee is incredible to me.
Oh, that's right. He was in Motley Crue.
Yes.
I only remember him as the person that Sebastian Stan played in that movie. Hey, at least I was right with both people I named. That was a gamble.
Man, honestly, I'm impressed. Like, for real, when you busted that shit out, I was like, dude, nice.
Yeah, I've already looked it up. Mick Mars was not going to ever come out of my mouth.
Oh, no.
I don't
there
know.
Are four people in there, and three of them will get named, and one of them, no.
Most bands, I'm going to be like, I don't know, there's that one guy.
Which is weird in the case that, for this one, it's the lead guitarist that everyone's like, who?
Was he any good? Do we remember Motley Crue having rockin' guitar? I remember Kickstart My Heart's pretty good guitar, and sure. All right, Mick Mars is underrated, I guess.
I guess.
What the fuck did Tommy Lee even do?
Drummer.
Oh. Ah, then why does everyone give it? I guess just because of his dick?
Sometimes people give a shit because you fuck someone. Sometimes a sex tape happens and you go from a drummer to Tommy Lee.
I guess that's fair. Is that also what happened for Tommy Lee Jones?
Yes.
Is that, yeah.
Sometimes you go from a drummer to Tommy Lee Jones.
You just fuck the right person and you're Tommy Lee Jones.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the Coen brothers.
That would have been extremely unfortunate.
So anyway, there you go. There's some donkey talk for the first time in forever.
Oh, God. I love our old bits. I love that. I mean, I'm going to say this. I'm glad that no one on any of the threads said anything about the hot dog questions, because unlike Cheese Dudes, that's one that I think we started and then it bit us in the ass.
Kind of. Yeah. I think, well, ultimately it fell by the wayside the way that most like audience QA things do, which is where, you know, you've been to conventions where a celebrity is being interviewed on stage, especially in the situation where it's a funny celebrity or like their job is that they're about.
Oh, yeah. Someone has jokes.
Yeah. They're about to have jokes. And the problem with hot dog questions is that it's really hard to ask the question without either like trying to do the jokes in the question,
yeah,
or referring to old jokes from previous answers.
Yeah.
And it's not anyone's fault. It's just a hard format to do. It's another thing that predates the show. Which again, a lot of our old bits are just the two of us driving somewhere. And that one was just me.
So many of our early bits,
yeah,
are just, we are driving to go get a food and one of us starts spouting nonsense.
Yes. And that one was me just being like, hey, John, would you eat a hot dog if it floated up to you on a raft while you were also on a raft in the middle of an ocean?
I don't know that that was the first one, but there was definitely one where it was like, hey man, would you eat a hot dog if you found it like in the dirt? It looks fine. It's pristine. It's not dirty.
Yes.
But like, it's just sitting there, would you? And then it just escalated.
Yes. It was the same thing. It was just a series of the other thing is there's a chance to play the pretty standard like comedy bang bang would you rather game, but with a focus to it.
Yes.
Because the whole thing was like, oh, I'm going to ask you if you'd eat this hot dog and you could ask me literally any question about it. But if you ever listen to Comedy Bang Bang, that's the same premise. It's a would you rather question. It's like, would you rather do this or this?
Yeah.
And you can ask me any question. It also has that same problem where the premise tends to be over convoluted. It's the same thing you see in improv advice is, you know, when you said improv, be simple, a couple of words. You don't want to be like, oh, okay, for this scene, I want that guy to be John Lennon and that guy's Paul McCartney and that guy's David Bowie, and the three of you are arguing over the prices of apples at the local pear auction. And it's like, that's too the fuck
it's
much.
Too much.
It's too much.
You can't have a joke come naturally at that point.
Yes, exactly. So the problem with the Comedy Bang Bang would be thing, you know, the premise would be initially funny. Like, would you rather be able to piss fire or only be able to piss when you have to put out a fire? The other fun thing on Comedy Bang Bang is the sheer number of comedians on that show that initially reject the premise and refuse to engage with it. So, I don't know, though, John. Would you rather be able to put out a fire, only be able to pee when you had to put out fires, or only be able to pee fire?
Well, is it painful that I can't pee?
It's both of them are pretty painful. I mean, there's fire.
Well, I mean, is it like the pee builds?
Okay, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Is it like I magically never have to pee unless it's for fire-related instances?
It's a kind of a hybrid. I'm going to go with a hybrid result on this one, which is that you can tell you have to pee, but it never becomes overly urgent. You just have that nagging,
okay,
oh,
so
I
it's
pee.
Not like you will die from not being able to pee unless you can find a fire to piss on.
There's a maximum have to pee that you hit and kind of plateau. Now that's just a sensational thing. Obviously you when you eventually do pee to put out a fire, like you get the accumulated pee of ages, you know what I mean? Like
pee of ages. Pee of ages.
You can tell this is a self-indulgent episode because he did both pee of ages.
Still peeing. Fucking peeing.
Yeah, so, but yeah, okay. So you hit that point where you like naggingly have to pee, but it never gets like, I am in pain.
Okay.
All right.
Now, does the fire start within the urethra so that I am burning my own dick, or is it just like a cool flamethrower?
Oh, good question. It's like dragon fire where like there's a secondary you have a little set tiny extra hole on the end of your penis that fires a reactant at the pee so that the pee starts about an inch away from your
dick.
So my
dick gains like a little
side
thing that comes
nozzle.
Out
yeah.
That's like
the mantle on a squid. Yeah, you got a little
so
siphon.
It's just a just a little lighter that pops up and my piss becomes essentially flammable at that point.
Yes.
That I'm shooting past a fire that my dick creates.
Normally your pee would not be flammable. It's only when it's combined with the special chemical from urethra 2 that you get it's like forming epoxy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
When I get horny, does the other bit also get hard?
Yes, and it's a terrible inconvenience.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it generally hit points backwards and kind of serves as like a little, you know. It's not, it's like a barb. It's not, it's,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, not good. Okay, yeah. Well, I think I'm ready to make my answer.
Okay, that's great.
All right. I'm going to piss fire. Fuck everyone.
That's the correct answer. I give you 6 points and a hot dog.
And I will not eat that hot dog.
Oh, that's probably good. It was peed on.
Yes. The gamble pays off.
I mean, it was really obvious. It was like a soggy, falling apart bun. Smelled like Gary Busey.
God bless. Mm-hmm. God bless everything.
Yeah. What else did you want to talk about?
I mean,
you're the one who looked up a series of topics for this. I'm adrift.
It's cool. It's fine. I will captain you. I will navigate you
Thank
on
you.
These waters.
That's good. You can be the master and I'll be the commander.
Well, now we're just two tops. This isn't going to work.
I know. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
We can just
be territorial over the space. I control the subs in the east side. You stay out of the east side.
Yeah. I'm Johnny Sandwich and I control the subs in the west side.
Also, I'm Pot Donkey. Did I mention that?
Hey, I'm trying to walk here. Huh?
All right. So, great. By all means, lead on then, Captain, or Master, while I command. I've never watched that movie or read any of those books.
Neither have I, and I will not.
My dad's obsessed with them, but I...
I have only heard good things,
yeah.
And I do not care.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of the other things that from the sort of early stuff when we were still establishing what we would do and not, I used to work at a friendly local game store.
Yep, it's gotten a lot less friendly and a lot less
game
in general.
Store.
It's just less. It has diminished, and I don't think it will go into the West.
This store is not walking past Nugget. But back in the day, you know, when I was doing that, if I let anyone know that we were doing this, and this is like before we even had a fucking Patreon or anything, like still early, I remember someone came up to me with their... like personally printed spiral bound copy of an RPG that they had made and were like, I want you to review this. And I was just like, oh fuck.
I remember we were like worried that we were going to wheel. We had like maybe 1,000 listeners at the time.
Maybe.
And we were worried that like we would destroy this guy's hard work.
Well,
we,
yeah.
We said, we were like, no, we can't do that to you, buddy. That would be, we'd end up being even the slightest bit mean, and we would destroy you and your dreams. And I was,
yeah.
As if we had clout or something.
Yeah, as if this person ever bothered to look up our show and listen to us anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, back then, when we were like, we're only going to do old RPGs, we're only going to do, like, out-of-print stuff, we don't want to negatively affect, because... you know, we love the hobby. We don't want to fuck the hobby over any more than the hobby fucks the hobby over.
Which it's doing just fine, thank you.
Yes, everyone who is in a position of power in the hobby fucks this hobby over.
Yeah.
So they didn't need us. And I was like, you know, let's try and, because we're going to be jokey and a little mean-spirited for a lot of these because they're kind of shitty, let's keep it to stuff where we wouldn't hurt anyone's feelings really or damage anyone's sales. And God, that was the first time that something came up and I was like, man, I am glad that we aren't doing this.
I know,
because the idea that we would,
it was a pretty basic heartbreaker, as
I recall. It was very much a, hey, have you seen D&D? What if there were anthro animals in it as well?
That was all it was. It was just like, hey, it's just exactly the same as D&D, but there's dog people and cat people.
And also, I threw in more complicated armor rules, because every heartbreaker needs to have a
one thing.
And I threw in more complicated whatever.
You always have one thing where they're like, this is the thing that D&D got wrong. A lot of the time, it's just religions. But sometimes it's armor rules or hit or spread attacks or something.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this needed hit locations, or this needed variable...
a wacky fumble table.
Yeah, there needed to be a variable table for crits, shit like that.
Yeah. So it was just this, cute little game. It was just like a D&D heartbreaker, which is the kind of thing where, to this day, if I encounter one, I'm not like, God, these are dumb and I wish they didn't exist. It's more like, oh, neat, you made one of these. That's great, you know?
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, if this had been... a game like everything the same, the exact text, if we had found that somewhere and it had came out in like 89 or 90, I would have been like, this is perfect for the show. But the fact that it was someone who was like, here is my precious child, please, please tell me what you think of them.
I was like, oops. That was the first time I really thought about how one of the things you can always say about a heartbreaker, no matter how bad, how stupid, ill-advised, I'm going to draw the line at offensive. That one, that when they're offensive or racist or sexist in some way, they shouldn't exist. But when you're talking about like Dead Earth, for example, or that mutant or apocalypse one where they had like the crayon version of American Gothic on the cover,
yeah,
like literally a crayon drawing for a cover, is that no matter what else you can say about them, they got that shit published. And that was the first time that I put that together in my head. I was like, you know what? I got to always maintain a bare minimum grudging respect for some of these.
Yeah, you had enough of a hair up your ass about getting this done that you managed to do it.
Yes.
It wasn't just, aw, D&D fucked up and I will be angry about it. You're like, no, I will die angry and I will make a book about how angry I am. And I'm like, there's got to be some level of respect there.
That's my floor, and you lose the floor if the book is sexist or racist or something. But otherwise, no matter what silly book it is, you know, some fifth cycle type thing or whatever, I'm like, you know what? You did it. You had a dream and you realized it.
You went after it and you grabbed it.
And, you know, for a long time there, I was like, hey, I've never been fucking published. These people have it. And now I've been published a bunch. So I'm like, also, I still just respect them. Don't worry about it.
Also, fuck you. Now that I've been published, eat my ass.
Well, I haven't been published with a role-playing game yet.
I do enjoy just looking through the Twitter thread. Someone's favorite thing is whenever they say oeuvre.
Do we say it wrong?
Oh, no. I just, whenever you I say someone's it. Oeuvre,
yeah.
I'm like, ah, yes, their oeuvre. I want to pronounce every letter.
See, one of us speaks no French, and the other one speaks halting, terrible French. You decide which is which.
You may ask us one question.
Which one of you speaks French? Ah, shit.
God damn it. Well, both of us lie, so here's the thing.
And also, we have to do it in either not French or terrible, halting French.
Non.
Oui.
God damn it. I just love... Can I be a little sappy for a minute?
You know what? We're at the 50-minute mark. I think it's the exact right time to be sappy. The last 10 minutes is the perfect time to go full maudlin.
Good.
Yeah, just like you're accepting an Oscar, even though we haven't grown in years.
Look, we've never been nominated for anything, ever. And I want to get real sappy here. That's your fault, listeners. What the fuck are you doing?
We would have to submit, like the Annies and shit, it's our job. We have to submit. Submit
to me, listeners.
Here's the thing. I don't want to win a fucking Annie because if we even got nominated, there would be at least three of the five other five podcasts nominated where they're like someone who's got something that we don't, you know.
Talents
or diversity,
equipment,
a difficult upbringing or background where I'm like, I don't want us to win. I would if anyone else in the group wasn't two generic white dudes, I'd be like, we withdraw.
I mean, God knows that when I was looking at what won gold for setting and it was that fucking Critical Role Tal Dorai thing and number two was the Jiangshi, I was like, ha, 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 love to see it.
That sucks. I saw someone fucking, there was an article on the AV Club recently that was like, D&D needs to embrace its queer, the queer people who are making it famous. And can I tell you, the two things she cited as the queer people making D&D famous now, none other than Critical Role and the McElroys.
Ah, famous queer icons.
Yeah, at least one of the McElroys has occasionally done, like, the worst halting attempts to be like, I see you, my bisexual brothers. I wish I was gay. Ha ha, I'm not, though. I'm not. Don't say I'm gay in the newspaper. Ha ha ha, I'm not. So, I don't even, I don't know what that was a fucking AV Club article, that, or maybe Kotaku, that needed to do a little growing up.
Yeah, no, that was when I saw that thing, and they were like, ah, it is us queer people that are making this popular. And the ones who are doing it are Critical Role and the McElroys and me. And I'm like, wow, way to put yourself there.
I just assumed, like, okay, this is before you get maudlin, let's get nitpicky again. You ever been in like a Facebook group? Like
no.
Never in your life? So when you join a Facebook group, usually because you're into some hobby, right? You're like, oh, I'm into whatever, recreational sky fucking or something. I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm only professional sky fucking. Thank you.
Where you get people who, some people are just joining because they're like, I'm waiting to see if anyone posts any meetups for recreational sky fucking or whatever.
Professional sky fucking. Our business is pleasure.
But other people are like, oh, this is my new little fiefdom. These are all my friends, and I want to share with them everything that is my life.
Yes.
Because I know I have something in common with them. They're skyfuckers, recreationally. So they start posting fucking minion memes and shit in there, because that's just what they do. That's what their interest is. Oh, it's wine o'clock somewhere. And then when you're like, hey, this is a thread for recreational skyfucking. Could you please post recreational skyfucking content? And they're like, I'm a recreational skyfucker, so everything I post is recreational skyfucking. I forget what my initial complaint was.
I don't know why I said that.
But I think it was connected in some way, so I will leave you with that. Thank you and good night. John, please go all maudlin on me.
No, I am still absolutely amazed and love all of the people that have, you know, whether they've, you know, just joined us recently and have discovered us within the past, you know, few weeks, or the people who have been there since we first posted about it and fucking Something Awful. Like, we have always said that our listeners, our people that are fans of us, are so good, because god damn it, we see shit all the time for, like, you know, Critters or any of the people who are fans of fucking anything else, that either get super fucking rabid whenever anyone comes after that thing,
yeah,
or are like, if you change any one thing or do something I don't like, I will, like, turn on a dime and hate you. And
yeah,
our fans have just really been like, that. Hey, if we fucked up, and there have been a few times where, especially in the early bits, we fucked up and got called out and we're like, oh, fuck, thank you, and didn't do it anymore. And I'm just like, thanks. Good. I love you. I love that you're willing to be like, hey, we're not going to, like, hold you on a pedestal and just be like, they can do no wrong. And if we fuck up, you don't just, like, yell at someone for calling it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, Hal Holbrook is, like, some kind of sports celebrity. Kevin and Kel was written by Bill Holbrook.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that a bunch of times. Remember Bruce Greenwood?
Hell yeah, I do.
He's the voice of Batman in the DC Animated Universe movie library, not the beard man who takes inappropriate photos. That is Sterling K. Brown.
That's Alan Greenwood. Oh, wait, Alan Greenspan. That's who I meant.
Sterling K. Brown is the guy who blew his own head off in the Shane Black Predator movie. I know who people are. I apologize for being wrong constantly.
But
I still
yeah.
can't believe, by the way, that the Shane Black Predator movie is the worst one.
Which one is that?
It's the one where Sterling K. Brown blows his own head off, and they have that truck full of military prisoners who are, like, all have mental illness.
Oh, the second to most recent one.
Yes, and it's not very good. It just wasn't very good, and, like, all the other ones have been great.
Well, yeah, because...
I mean, granted, we're setting aside the AVP franchise.
Yes.
Those are trash.
Honestly, I kind of liked the first one. I never saw Requiem, but I watched the first one and was like, this is the exact level of trash
Requiem
that I want.
Requiem was, you'd probably like it more than I did. It was like a Halloween slasher type movie where there's there's teens swimming in a pool. I bet you can tell that they get gored up and then the pool's all bubbly with blood. You know, it's that kind of thing where you're like, that would make sense for xenomorphs or for Yautjas. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting your heartfelt feelings with minor nitpicks about media things, so...
Well, hey.
That's what I do.
That's the brand.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just love that the people who support us aren't awful. Because,
nice.
I mean, in the same way that I look at a lot of, you know, like we were saying, people who are actually famous in the industry are great at fucking the industry.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't ever want to have a point where I'm like, oh, no, I have to distance myself from my fans because we're the type of people that get shitty fans.
That is true. We have never had that happen. I only have to distance myself from fans because I'm scared of people.
Yes. You have to distance yourself so that they don't come up to you and ask for peach cobbler. Bits. Old bits.
That never No, did anyone ever ask us for cobbler?
No. Although someone did say that apparently if we're wearing cargo shorts at a con, then we owe them free candy if they
That's
come
right,
up to us.
That's right, because we keep the pockets on the cargo shorts are exclusively for candy.
Yeah.
That is an old bit as well, yes.
Yes.
Which I think at least one con I stuffed my pockets with Jolly Ranchers for that purpose, and it never came up.
Of course not. No one's going to remember our dumb bits except for the people who are like, hey, I remember that. I will never go to a con that you are at. And I'm like, my friend,
I'm like,
that is fair enough.
And that's also safe because I'm never going to a con again.
Never. Never again.
Screw that. They've all become complete danger typhoid zones. Huh? Fucking Gen Con right now is completely full of babies. All these people who had COVID.
Well, not anymore. Now it's over.
That's true. It is over now. But apparently everyone who had COVID babies straight up brought them to Gen Con to get them on the family tradition of COVID.
Yay.
So, no thank you. But, you know, maybe someday. Maybe someday when either I'm immune to all diseases because I've ascended to some sort of energy being form.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the only solution I can see to that now. Or maybe some Web 3.0 bullshit. That's probably it. Some Web 5.0 bullshit where I can send my avatar.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll get those full haptic suits and we'll go Ready Player One and have a con in, you know, ultra space.
And that's when we'll find out that you can get COVID through your haptic ultra suits.
finally.
It was Mike Burles' idea.
I mean, at that point, I'll be like, I don't know, what, 70? And I'll just be like, that's fine. I can die. If I'm still alive by the time that happens, fuck it. Just roll me into a gutter.
Let the gutter make use of me.
Let nature do what it wilt, for I have no use anymore for this.
And by nature, I mean the street about six blocks up from the Golden Nugget, you know, where the lights stop.
Just roll me into a nearby Cheese Dudes dumpster and let it do what it will.
Mm-hmm. By then, Cheese Dudes will be a real restaurant, but Bezos gets all the money from it.
No! Now I'll stay alive just to make sure he doesn't.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very appreciative of what we've been able to find among listeners and fans and so on.
What we have built here, I appreciate what has happened. I love that we've got a good community. I love that we have been able to do this for 10 years and don't hate each other. Like, the fact that we turned what was just like, hey, I feel like doing something creative. And then I was like, podcast is not a creative color. And we did it anyway.
I never said anything creative. I wanted to make money off it. That's not true. It took us years to think to monetize it. And even then, it was still like, oh, we need to open a Patreon or I have to close this because I make $8 an hour at a Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll open that. And then you were like, I did it anyway, and I fucked it up. And I'm like, well, too late now.
That's fine. Everything's fine. We can fix it. We're going to go monthly sometime this year.
At some point. Just you wait. It'll happen. I know we've been saying that for a year now.
Well, no, because we said we would do it, and then they put us on the list of people who said they wouldn't do it. And then they were like, okay, well, now you can do it if you want. And I was like, oh, I do really want to, but there's a reason we couldn't at the time. I think we're upgrading something. We are now pretty much clear to go to monthly. But, you know, we will. We will go to monthly. We will finally be a regular monthly podcast like everybody else. But at this point, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to do that much. We've got a whole thing in the horizon, folks. We're looking to change our host servers. It's been a while.
It's been 10 years, and we are finally going to somewhat, minutely get our shit together a little bit.
And we're doing that more or less by, like, hiring a company to do it for us.
Please get my shit together. We're going to shitgatherers.org. Mm-hmm. They're going to come together, get our shit, put it in a bag, and we will thank them for it.
Yeah, but we are working with a company to help kind of get all of our servers in order so that all of our RSS feeds go all the way back.
Oh, they go all the way back. So you know what I mean.
Yeah, you can listen to every episode. It's going to be, the whole goal is by the end of this year, which should be a lot easier to access and listen to.
That's the goal.
Yep.
We want to make it easy for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just because we want to monetize all the 1,000+ episodes we've made. It's just mostly because of that.
It's just that. No, it's pretty much only that.
So, hey, let me see. System Mastery, what was your favorite thing?
My favorite thing about System Mastery, it has to be, as much as there's a lot to enjoy about System Mastery, I think if I have to narrow it down to one thing. And not just a generic thing.
Just a thing, one thing.
Yeah.
You can't say the tone.
I really like the writing.
Okay.
No. I'm going to say my favorite thing in System Mastery from the past 10 years has been sharing a workspace with you.
Aww.
My friend.
Yeah, especially this big open one so you can't smell me.
Yeah, no, I definitely can.
Damn it.
Put some deodorant on, you motherfucker.
It's hot. I don't wanna.
That's why you put it on. No, I'd probably say my favorite thing from the past 10 years has been a steady paycheck at a job where I don't constantly want to not get out of bed in the morning and hate myself for working it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you say your favorite thing is?
All the opportunities to get out of bed and hate myself immediately.
All these opportunities to wake up and have one person say a negative thing.
Yeah.
And John, I'm like, John, they're all hating us on the internet. They all hate the bit
if
we did.
If one person complains, it's because 10 people hated it. I know that's supposed to be the opposite of those customer service classes they make you take in when you have real jobs. You know those ones where they like show you a video of the Pike's Place fish market where they're all like singing and throwing fish around, and then they turn the video off and they're like, doesn't that look like fun? Never improvise, sing, throw food, or do anything.
Ah! We're a family here, but I swear to God, if you try and take a day off.
I had to do that at fucking SeaWorld. I worked at SeaWorld for a while as a tour guide, and they made us watch a video about like fucking Macy's or some fucking department store that was like famous for its customer service. And someone's going to correct me on which one it was, because I don't remember. Sure. But it was like a guy returned a car tire there once, and they were like, oh, here's your money back. We don't even sell car tires. That's how good our customer service is. And I was like, that's not customer service. That's just lunacy in the name of being able to make these videos and sell them to SeaWorld.
Yes.
But when they turned the video off, I was like, so if someone shows up and tries to return a car tire to me, they're like, obviously, no, don't. You can't. And I'm like, why the fuck did you show me this? So my favorite thing about System Mastery is not having to return car tires.
God bless. All right.
No, man, obviously I'm spending all this time hanging out with my good buddy John and getting all this work done.
Hell yeah.
We make a good team, friendo.
Good team.
Now for an awkward, stinky hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
that was my least favorite part of System Mastery.
All the awkward, stinky hugs.
Every time we had to have an awkward, stinky hug. Now, all of the not awkward, stinky hugs, fine.
Those are great. The natural ones that feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just lean into them.
And they smell so good. And you're like, oh, he's giving all of himself to me right now. This is a real one.
You're like, man, I feel like I've been here for like 10 minutes and 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's just time is no meaning here within the bosom of your arms.
There's no eye contact because it's a good hug. And yet somehow I perceive eye contact.
I can feel us staring into each other, not with eyes, but with something deeper.
With our hearts.
Heartache to heartache.
Do you want to actually do least favorites? I don't really want to. I've had a really good time. I mean, I would say my least favorite thing is all of our recording conditions have been shit because we're poor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got to say, the least favorite thing about System Mastery has 100% been those early days of two of us sitting around a snowball mic and just being like, this is how you do things. I'm sure of it.
This is how every podcast works, I assume.
I assume two people sit as close and uncomfortably as they possibly can and talk into the same round mic.
Mm-hmm.
Worst.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my least favorite would probably be all the goofy mistakes I've made over the years, like not setting the Patreon to monthly and getting a bunch of people's names wrong.
Yeah.
Those things tend to haunt me.
Yeah.
I will wake up 6 years later and be like, fucking Bruce Greenwood.
Bruce.
So.
Master
that's,
Bruce.
That's definitely my least favorite thing. Would you do System Mastery some more? Or again?
I'd probably do System Mastery.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably get her done.
Throw a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd probably lay System Mastery down tenderly on a bed of roses.
10 more years?
Yeah.
All right, 10 more years.
10 more years. 10 more years.
I'm not starting a chant. There's only two of us. Oh, no, wait. I hear people outside the garage door.
They're trying to get in.
Oh, shit. Zombies.
Don't dead. Open inside.
All right. Well, that's, go to the Patreon.
Hey, go to the Patreon. Here's a little thing. What are we going to do for bonus content? Ooh,
oh, shit.
You're going to find out.
I didn't even think about that until this exact second.
I did.
Oh, good. You had a thing. Okay. All right.
Oh, I've got a plan. And baby, you better find out by going to that patreon.com/systemmastery, $1 level, cheap as dirt. Get in on it. 10 years less than that, but, many years of content.
Mm-hmm.
All of it opens before you. The flower spreads its petals, welcoming you in. Yep. To this content.
Wait, what?
Georgia O'Keeffe paintings.
You caught me getting distracted.
Yeah, that's right. I caught you fucking around.
I was fucking around. I was checking something.
But yeah, head on over to the Patreon at patreon.com/systemmastery. Join us. Help us keep doing this. We've been doing it for 10 years. If we can get more people, we can maybe do more stuff, get something good.
That's all we want.
Maybe we might take a vacation.
Never. I mean, that's the whole point of going monthly, but otherwise, never.
Never.
Yeah. We are definitely going to start video content, though. We have all the stuff.
Yeah. I spent many dollars on stuff for video, so by God, you will see us.
Well, like I told...
Porky Pig in it. You'll never know.
It's all waist up shots.
Yeah.
Or it's all waist down shots, and you just won't know it's us.
So you won't know we're Porky Pig in it, because you won't know we've got shirts on.
I found out that what we've been calling Porking Pig in it is called shirt cocking at burner events like Burning Man and so on.
Oh, that's terrible.
And
it's viewed as
terribly negative.
I'll accept Donald ducking it,
mm-hmm.
but I prefer Porky Pig in it.
Porky Pig in it just rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah.
But yeah, shirt cocking is what they call it at Burning Man's and so on, and it is a faux pas.
And Burning Man is fucked up.
Yes, I would never go.
Yeah,
I don't want
because they call it shirt cocking. That's stupid.
It's
as
not
hell.
Good enough. Porky Piggin, guys.
God damn.
And they're gonna be like, that's reference to a brand. That's not.
I don't want to bring any money into the Warner Brothers. And then I'll be like, yeah, well, brains out, sun's out,
how
brains
much,
out.
How much money did you spend on being here? Because I've heard it's usually over to $8,000 per person.
Yeah. How much money did you spend so you could go be natural and away from all of this horrible capitalism
by building a whole city somewhere and living in it for a week?
And
actually, I don't even blame regular burners for that. That's the rich ones, the ones who like ring the outside of it with like perimeter guarded RV enclosures that have pools and shit.
No, I'm blaming every burner. Okay. If you go to Burning Man, it's because you have too much money and more than sense. Yeah, or come at me again. Yeah. That's at Gurgle Spasm. Yeah.
Or you've got an angle where people are taking you for free.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're a hot lady and someone's like, let me take you to Burning Man, and you're like, haha, sure, you're not getting anything.
Yeah,
I'm going to get so much free drugs.
Because all the people I've ever had recommend that I should go to Burning Man have all been, like, my hot lady friends. And they're all like, you should go. It's amazing.
Everyone's so friendly.
It's so nice. And I'm like, I will die alone in the fat in the desert is what will happen if I go to that.
I will crawl up to someone's camp and they will go, ew.
The fuck are you doing here? You look like you work for Warner Brothers. Now fix my goddamn internet.
Because I work for Warner Brothers.
So, anyway, I'm sure that's wrong. I'm sure we would be welcomed with open arms.
I'm sure it would be a beautiful, joyous community, and we would go there, and everyone would be happy to see us, and they mm-hmm. definitely would be like, come, drink of my water, and partake of my weed, and I'd be like, nah, I'm good.
I'd rather die of dehydration, please.
I'm just gonna walk past the nugget.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you all have a good one, and we'll see you again for the rest of time.